Fanning, weekends on 2FM.
Now, Daisy Mescal is the UK's youngest ever breakfast radio host and has lived with insomnia since childhood. For as long as she can remember, she survived on as little as a couple of hours sleep each night. Now, Daisy Mescal, Insomnia and Me was the new BBC Three documentary. It followed Daisy as she dug into the causes of her own insomnia and she took the first steps towards treatment. She also speaks to other young people struggling with the sleep as well. And Daisy joins me now. Daisy, you're very welcome to the programme. Have you found that there is a lot of misinformation and not a lot of understanding about insomnia?
I have. And I think, to be honest with you, that was the main push for me to make this film, to make this documentary. It's something that I've dealt with since I was around 9 years old. So I'm 23 now, and it's been a really, really long time. And I've been in and out of different doctor's offices without really finding the root cause or a long-term solution, which can be so frustrating. And the doc's been out a couple of days now, and that is the overwhelming response, is the fact that people out there can just relate to the lack of understanding and the lack of treatment that is actually available, which is really, really sad.
Well, then what about your own investigations? I mean, you went out to investigate your own insomnia, but did you find I use the word epidemic of sleep disorders amongst young people?
Absolutely. Again, you know, sleep disorders have always been present amongst young people. And I think that can be a little bit of a misconception. Insomnia tends to be seen as an issue that doesn't really affect young people. It's, you know, the phrase sort of lazy teenager is much more common when talking about teenagers that have issues with their sleep. But insomnia tends to be sort of sitting in a much older demographic. But since the pandemic, I mean, those numbers have absolutely gone through the roof. I mean, you know, for all different reasons, people dealing with all different stresses and pressures, whether that be financial, whether that be due to, you know, health reasons. Yeah. It's you know, rates have just risen tenfold.
And what is a feeling that you would have about all of this? For instance, like, you know, you can't do what comes naturally, you think, to most people. So are you annoyed? Do you get disappointed? Are you freaked out?
That's one of the hardest things to deal with, I think, is the frustration that, you know, everyone else seemingly can sort of put their head on their pillow and fall asleep quite easily at night. It's, you know, one of the most natural things that it is essential for us all to do. And it's so frustrating to feel as though you just don't have control over your own body or your own sleep cycle.
And you do say that half of 16 to 24 year olds get fewer hours sleep than pre-pandemic. Is that something you've definitely discovered and realised, oh, wait a minute now? And that one in five struggle to fall asleep.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, there have been so many cases since the pandemic. I think Hannah in the film was one person in particular. Mm. I think she'd suffered with a little bit, a few issues with her sleep prior. But, you know, that just the pandemic has made things a hell of a lot worse for her.
Do you know this thing of, like, you know, just turn your brain off? But I mean, the very idea of having to work at something to turn your brain off, when most people it just turns off. If you have to work at it, you're defeated already, are you?
Yeah, for sure. I think it's sort of a counterproductive statement, really. Yeah. I undertook neurotherapy, which was really, really validating. It was a really validating experience, which was the brain scan that I do in the documentary. And it was so nice for the first time to actually have some written proof that my brain actually reacts differently to other people's in a resting state. I think my brain, it tends to work 30% harder and faster when I'm in a resting state, as opposed to, I think, 97% of the population. So it can be really frustrating. And I think it's a lot easier said than done when people sort of throw out phrases like switch your brain off, relax, take a bath. You know, when you're sitting up at 3, 4, 5 in the morning, those things can be really, really difficult to tackle.
Well, you know, funny, you do have a kind of a slight laugh in your voice about that question. I mean, in your answer. So I have to ask, the neurological tests, you know, the brain, the cerebral activity is heightened in you more than in most people. Is that good to know? Or is that really worrying?
I think for me, before I went into filming this doc, I was someone that sort of turned away from any medical professional or any medical professional's opinion. And I think partly because I felt so failed on this before, but it was quite nice to have some sort of peace of mind as to what was going on, and also to try and pinpoint a cause in order to find the right treatment that was going to work for me. So as much as it can be scary to feel like you're a bit of an anomaly, or to feel like you are reacting different in different situations to the majority, I think it brought me a lot of validation You know, I've discussed this with friends, with family, with work colleagues in the past, people just not understanding that insomnia more often than not isn't to do with the amount of coffee you're drinking, with the amount of time you're spending on social media, whether you've got a TV in your bedroom or not. It, for most people, it will show up on a brain scan that there is something different with your brain, based on other people that can get a good night's sleep at night.
Right, but just let's go back to one thing you just said there, which is you did seem to, let's say, trust too long in anecdotal evidence. You took your time getting to the GP. It was a bit of a last resort.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think for me and for a lot of other sufferers, I mean, this is, you know, so apparent in the responses that I've received and the people that we spoke to as well. A lot of people have had bad experience going to the GP when they're talking about sleep related disorders. And I don't know whether it is because we still have a lack of understanding or a lack of empathy. I think we are slowly realizing that sleep related disorders and mental health, they're really, really closely tied. And that was, there are so many studies looking at people that struggle with their mental health and people that struggle with their sleep. And it's sort of a chicken and an egg situation whereby we don't really know which one came first, but they both seem very, very present. And I think that a lot of people that have visited the GP, they don't feel as though there is enough seriousness placed on the issue, and they don't really understand how much it can ruin people's lives.
Well, then let's, before we see exactly just how ruined, let's just take, how many hours sleep would you get on an average night?
I think for me, a good night's sleep is four hours a night, which is a lot less than the 8 hours that anyone will recommend. But that is a good night's sleep for me. But I can get anything from sort of 30 minutes until 4 hours. I've set 30 minute timers before when I've been at my worst. But since filming, I'm sort of hitting 4 or 5 hours every night. So I'm definitely seeing an improvement.
And do you do the old sleep in front of the telly, or do you nap in the afternoon stuff?
I don't. Yeah. I'm not a napper at all.
No, I'm not. Well, I mean, a bad night's sleep is a very good real reason to be unable to go to work, but it's not taken seriously at all, is it? I mean, like, you know, you're either lazy or you had a late night, or, you know, people basically don't take, if you like, the whole thing seriously or real as an excuse, do they?
Absolutely not. And that can be really, really hard for sufferers because, you know, I know and anyone else that suffers with insomnia knows how bad they feel, you know, in the morning when they wake up, when they haven't had enough sleep, and how it can have a knock-on effect to both your mental and physical health. I mean, I do a breakfast show on radio every single morning, and I'm supposed to be energetic and lively and motivating. I'm supposed to be helping other people that are waking up having a bad morning to feel better. And if I don't feel like I'm in the right space personally and physically and mentally to do that, I'm not carrying out my job to the best of my ability. But it feels really difficult for people to call up their workplace or their friends to cancel on plans and say, you know what, I'm not feeling my best because I've had a bad night's sleep. You know, that brings about...
Well, then hold on a second, like the breakfast show that you do, I mean, you know, since 2019 or whatever, and then you get interviewed in the newspapers about this new presenter, or at least the presenter on this new program, and it's great and all the rest of it. Did you kind of slyly or mistakenly or in a laughy way use your insomnia as a positive, saying, well, this is brilliant, because I mean, I don't sleep anyway, so I might as well get up early in the morning?
I absolutely did. I think, yeah, it's important to sort of say my issues with my sleep didn't come about when I first got this job. It was a long time before that. And so I did. I absolutely use it as a benefit. It was the number one question that...
You know, I would do that too, though, because, I mean, by using it as a benefit, you might feel you could control it and that you're above it.
Yeah, for sure. And it brings a sort of a certain sense of positivity towards it. And it almost ended up being a personality trait of me. I'm everyone's friend Daisy that, you know, oh, she's the one that can't sleep. And that sort of pushes down the seriousness of the issue. And it certainly did for me too.
So therefore, you were able to pretend that you didn't recognise the ways you were suffering. But, you know, let's take those last few words. You were suffering.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think sometimes it takes for you to see other people suffering in the same way for you to really show yourself the same amount of kindness. Because me meeting other people, other young people just like me that have been suffering really, really bad in the documentary, it just shows, you know, we show other people so much more kindness sometimes than we show ourselves, and so much more understanding. And it really did force me to take my issues more seriously, just seeing how other people that are suffering in the same way are being affected.
Well, here, I have some advice, but you might know about this already. I mean, you mentioned the hot bath and the pillow sort of spray and the candles and the Himalayan salt lamp to cleanse the body, the bad energy in it. Have you tried Harry Styles?
I haven't tried Harry Styles. He has a calm up, doesn't he? He
I'll
has
tell you. Okay, yeah, I'm going to play you a little bit of this. Okay, it's about
playing
four.
A little bit
it's
of
about
Harry.
40 or 50 minutes long, which I don't quite get, because if you do fall asleep after a minute or two, which I presume might be the goal, then this thing is still playing away, so it might wake you back up. But here's the first. I'll give you the first minute or so. Right, you'd have to fall asleep. I mean, it's Harry. For God's sake, it doesn't get better than Harry.
Hello. I'm Harry Styles, and tonight I'm going to help you drift off to sleep with some soothing words and calming music. A sleep story just for you.
Now, there you go. You see, that's the way it is. It's just for you, Daisy. Okay, that's about 15 seconds. It's about 50 minutes long.
Wow. Wow. Do you know what? He is great. He's got a great voice.
He does.
Yeah, very, very nice. I mean, I think when I'm getting a massage, that would sound great playing out in the background, but I'm not sure that would help me out too much. But it's great that these things are available. And I think that, yeah, it is important to sort of note that as much as none of this is... none of the pillow sprays and the Himalayan salt lamps and the baths or even Harry Styles are useless, they can definitely help calm anxiety, get you into a more of a positive frame of mind.
Okay, well then, getting serious then, is there a stigma, do you think, surrounding sleep-related disorders?
Yes, absolutely. I think especially when it comes to young people as well, I think young people can often be labelled as lazy, or they can be blamed for their sleep-related issues, whether it be them using social media too much or up late at night gaming or drinking too much caffeine or going out partying. I think it's quite difficult for a young person to get a diagnosis of insomnia. And there can be a lot of stigma attached. And that can often come from friendship groups as well, because friendship groups and friends and family are often the people that you cancel on first if you're not feeling up to it. And if you're constantly using the same excuse of the fact that you haven't had a good night's sleep, people don't really understand and take that as seriously as it should be taken. So you can often be seen as being antisocial or a flake or difficult to make plans with. I've got an amazing friendship group, an amazing set of friends who are fully understanding, but I know these things are serious issues that people deal with that can make the problem so much worse.
Well, would the GP have said things like, you know, your parents separated as a child, you had an eating disorder at the age of 14, how's the connection with all of this?
Yeah, that was a really interesting observation and a really interesting finding, is the fact that a lot of people that are struggling with insomnia, they often have a trigger somewhere. And I think the biggest benefit is really figuring out what that trigger is, because once you figure out where it came from, you can sort of figure out where you're going with it and look to treatments that will target that trigger on that trauma first. And I carried on with the therapy sessions that you see me undertaking in the film, in the documentary, and I've seen a massive, massive benefit of working through some of that trauma and working through some of those repressed emotions that have had a knock-on effect on my sleep. And sometimes treating the cause, you know, well, we know treating the cause is going to have the biggest benefit in the future to the results that you receive.
Okay, well, finally then, we're talking to Daisy Maskell, by the way. Insomnia and Me was the BBC Three documentary that we were talking about. But just on the final note of just where you are and who you are and what's going to happen next, if you take a look at just, you know, this whole idea of, you know, what it does to you in terms of physical or mental or whatever it happens to be, which is worse? Which is the thing you hate the most, that it affects your social life or that it's a mental or physical thing?
I would say, you know, the physical effects are awful, but for me personally, I think the mental health side effects that insomnia has had on me, those are the hardest things to deal with, because those are the things that feel hardest to explain to other people. We've all had a bad night's sleep, but when you have this on a consecutive basis over a number of years like I have, the knock-on effect that has on your mental health is just catastrophic, and that can be really, really hard to deal with. It's so isolating.
Yeah, by the way, available on the BBC iPlayer, but are there plans to rebroadcast the documentary elsewhere, do you know?
I don't know as of yet, but I think it's sitting on iPlayer for a little while, so you'll be able to catch it on there.
Okay, and obviously it's nice to know, and all your sort of, all the work that you've done, that there are other people out there. It kind of makes you feel better, does it?
Absolutely. You know, it's so important to realize whatever you're suffering with, you're never suffering alone. And it's been so nice to connect with a community of people that do understand and that have been through this. That's been one of the biggest positives of making this documentary.
Daisy Maskell, thank you so much, Daisy, for talking to us on the program today, and good luck with your night's sleep.
Thank you so much.
Dave Fanning, weekends on 2FM.